Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Anoush Zamarodi of New Tech City, in for Brian. Good morning, everyone. Gay marriage rights are on the move nationally, but does everyone feel comfortable putting their wedding pictures on their desks at work? Yitz Jordan is senior developer and contributor to Quartz. He is also known as the rapper Y Love. And he took a look at recent sociological studies to see what research shows about when coming out on your resume might hurt or even help getting hired. And he joins me now. Welcome to WNYC, Yitz Jordan.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what do overall surveys show about discrimination against gay and lesbian and transgender workers? You looked at the latest numbers from Pew.
Right. Given America's longstanding history of anti-gay discrimination, it would be thought that coming out on one's resume or coming out at work would be a bad idea. And one thing that is widely quoted is a study that came out in 2011 in the American Journal of Sociology, which analyzed callback rates for gay applicants versus heterosexual applicants. And it found that the callback rate, that is how many resumes that a applicant has to send out before they get a callback from a potential employer, for gay applicants was 40% lower than for heterosexual applicants.
Yeah, I want to go through all the studies in a little bit. Go on.
But that study, published in 2011, was conducted in 2005. And given the rapid change in social attitudes towards LGBT Americans, when a similar callback rate study was done in conducted in 2012 at Carnegie Mellon University, they found almost identical rates of callback rates for gay and heterosexual applicants. As the way of the country is so the way of the workplace. As people feel more comfortable coming out in general society and living their lives, it seems that that's trickling down into the workplace as well.
So listeners, let's do our own mini unscientific survey. I'm curious if anyone is including information about sexual orientation or even race or religion in your cover letters or resumes. And is that helping or hurting you get in the door for an interview? How much have attitudes changed at your workplace and for what kinds of jobs? Call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or post your comments to our webpage at WNYC.org. You can click on Brian Lehrer Show. And yet, when somebody sort of comes out on a resume, how do you do that? What does that even look like?
So the way that these studies were conducted, basically for the study that I quoted from Princeton University, the way that they structured the resumes were two identical resumes. The only difference being that in the quote-unquote gay resume, the applicant noted that they were president of a gay student organization in college, that they were involved in
They say I was member of this club, and that makes it pretty obvious. They're not sort of hitting them on the head with it. They're sort of sprinkling it.
Exactly. Whereas in the study that was published in 2011, the researcher at Harvard wanted to make it more relevant to the resume at hand. So it included that the involved in their employment experience was that they were, for instance, financial officer of a gay organization or worked at a gay community center or something like that, where the fact that they were LGBT was part of the employment experience section.
Now, we haven't touched on what I find the most interesting thing is you are Black, you are gay, you are Jewish, you've got at least three groups that have faced discrimination in the past, right? Can we call it a discrimination hat trick? Is that?
Oh, definitely.
So
three of a kind.
Yeah, there you go. So what's been your personal experience with all this?
Now, I guess I've always been fortunate that I've never really had to be I've never really had to feel uncomfortable being myself at work since coming out professionally. I came out professionally as a rapper, as Y Love, in 2012, and that was a very significant thing, because at the time it was thought that no rapper has ever done this, no rapper has made such a public statement about their sexual orientation. This was before the days of Macklemore, Same Love, and all the other pro-LGBT hip-hop that's been coming out recently. So it was, I thought that I was going to lose fans, I thought that I was going to lose bookings, I wouldn't be able to get shows anymore, I wouldn't be able to easily get representation. And not only did it get better, it got fantastic after coming out. Shows of support from fans. Not only did I keep getting shows, I got more shows. Now I'm getting booked in Pride festivals and things like that. And just as, and so it was in music, as it's been in my software development life, my web development life, and my writing life. There's never been I've been fortunate that I haven't been in a place where like one in five LGBT Americans are, where they have to, where they have been made to feel uncomfortable by an employer. Quartz is a very diverse workplace. I've never had any problems here or, you know, anywhere else in my recent past.
So let's go back and look at that Harvard study. It was the oldest study that you looked at. It was from a Harvard sociologist. It was published in 2011, and it found, perhaps unsurprisingly, distinct discrimination between gay and straight applicants, right?
Definitely. It found that 40% less the callback rate for gay applicants versus straight applicants. That is, whereas a gay applicant would have to send out maybe 12 resumes to get a response. The straight applicant would only have to have to send out 40% less.
And did the results vary considerably by red state or blue state?
Oh, extremely. As a matter of fact, in California, Nevada, and in New York, there was no statistical difference between gay callback rates and straight callback rates. Oh, the 40% number is a number that's overall nationwide. In places like Texas, the average straight applicant, quote unquote, had to send out only 3.7 resumes on average to get a callback, whereas the average gay applicant had to send 12. Literally triple the rate.
Okay, so we want to go to Mo in Brooklyn. Mo, what are your thoughts on this idea of putting it on your resume, whether you have a different sexual orientation or race? What do you think about this?
I was thinking specifically about the gentleman on the air right now, that he is a hiring trifecta because he's gay, he's Jewish, and he's black. So that's like a diversity trifecta right there. So chances are of him being hired much higher than someone who's just gay.
So affirmative action is what sort of you're suggesting here. And yet this idea of affirmative action, is this something that you think perhaps job applicants, you know, more power to them, play to that they're, you know, why not? I mean, I have to say, as a woman, when, you know, WNYC certainly has an initiative to get more women on the air, and if that helps me in any way, I'm not going to say no to it, right?
Right. And we have to talk about the difference between affirmative action and diversity policy. Affirmative action is a governmental action, and historically, we have found, and historically, yes, affirmative action has, you know, helped candidates of color and things like that in the past. But today, so many companies are embracing diversity policies on their own, that without any governmental action. So it's just realized that it's just a reality that a diverse workforce helps to make better products. I don't think that I would necessarily be targeted for a position just because of, you know, the groups I belong to, because like these studies showed, the only things that the hiring manager saw was a resume. It's not like they met the person or anything like that.
So I want to go to what sort of is the the surprise in all of this. This recent study that you looked at from Princeton, which took a step further and tried to gauge what happens when applicants have multiple attributes that could lead to discrimination. And this is perhaps the most surprising thing. They found a penalty for being gay and for being black, but not for being a gay black man. How do you explain that?
So one of the things that Dr. Padula, the sociologist from Princeton, wanted to see is, did negative stereotypes counteract each other? The idea of the threatening black man, the perceived threat that a straight black man would pose versus the perceived femininity of gay men. So
So you're basically saying that, like,
do the stereotypes cancel each other out?
Right. Exactly. That's a really great question. Is this really great news, or is this some kind of prejudice jujitsu whereby biases against two groups cancel each other out?
And that was the shocking discovery. When presented with two identical resumes, the only difference being that one of the resumes they had a quote unquote black sounding name. I think the name was Darnell Jackson, and they had a quote unquote white sounding name, and they had a membership in a gay student organization versus lack of membership in a gay student organization. And when presented with the straight white resumes, the hiring managers offered a starting salary of only around $38,700. But when presented with the gay black resumes, they suggested a starting salary of over $41,000.
So, listeners, we want to know what your experience is in terms of including your sexuality, your race, your religion on your resume, in your cover letter. Has it helped you? Has it hindered you, but not in a way you expected? We would really like to know. So give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Let us know, 212-433-WNYC. And Yitz, there's a comment from Sina online, and she says, you know, once they have your city and your name, they can easily get on social media sites and see what's what, right? So that makes these studies even more relevant, right?
Right. And as a matter of fact, the study that was conducted in 2012 at Carnegie Mellon, that's exactly what they did. They expected that the hiring managers would look at their social media and social networking sites. And grant, ideally, intelligent people who want to be searching for jobs keep their resumes and their social networking sites relatively consistent. And that's what these applicants did. These fictional applicants had. They had social networking sites like social media sites like LinkedIn, where their resume and the social networking site were consistent. When talking about LGBT things versus LGBT issues versus racism, there would be no way to tell just from a profile picture whether or not someone was LGBT. They would have to disclose that on the profile.
Let's go to Abraham in Brooklyn. Abraham, can you hear us? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What do you think about this idea of putting personal information, personal details into your resume or cover letter?
It's very fascinating conversation. And I've listened to Why Love actually with Dee Scribe couple of years ago. I really like him. I didn't know he's LGBT. That was a surprise to me, but I was just wondering why someone will put something on their resume that's seemingly irrelevant to the job or to the employer. Why would anybody care about your sexual orientation?
That's the ideal world, really, right? Where no one gives a darn, right?
Even if people would care, but why would that make a difference to the employer? You should be talking about your work experience. How would that affect his decision making? Why would anybody care?
Well, like I said before, in the study that was done in Harvard in 2005, it was working at an LGBT organization was part of these applicants' work experience. So if in that respect, to not mention part of one's work experience but due to the fact that they don't want to reveal that they've worked for an LGBT organization, that's more staying closeted on one's resume than being truthful.
I'm dying to know about your personal experience then with this. Like, and also what you think about this idea that black gay men have a very particular stereotype. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, all stereotypes are made to be proven false. So, you know, any stereotype just comes from a variety of cultural inputs, maybe from the media, maybe from things that they've seen or heard. But, you know, in my personal experience, kind of like the study at Princeton found that, you know, black gay men are seen as quote unquote less threatening, are seen as more warm, are seen as more approachable, more likable, as one 2010 study found. I wouldn't say that describes everyone's reaction to me. You know, I, there are people I get along with, there are people I don't get along with. For me, being being out hasn't negatively impacted me. This is not to say that this is the norm. 1 in 5 LGBT people are still being discriminated against, but in their workplace, and still can't put pictures of their wedding up on their desks or things like that. But as far as my personal experience, the hardest part was coming out in the music industry,
because that's an industry that's not as forgiving, I suppose.
Well, definitely, and especially in hip-hop. That was what I was expecting. I was expecting the homophobia that the hip-hop industry has been rife with since the 90s, and I was expecting that to still be there. And, America, just like our president, has evolved on a lot of LGBT issues.
We have an interesting comment from Matt in Jackson Heights, and he says, I'm listening to your show as I prepare for an interview this afternoon. On my resume, I list volunteer experience, and the first organization I list is Queens Pride House, the LGBT Community Center of Queens. And Matt writes, I'm not sure if it helped, but it definitely did not hurt. I guess he got an interview, right? He's going this afternoon. And then he says, I choose to be open about this, as I have no interest in working for an employer where I feel I have to hide my sexuality. So that's an interesting sort of note from Matt. Matt, thanks for your comment. I want to go to Dana, who's calling in from Hoboken, New Jersey. Hi, Dana.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good. Tell us about your experience or thoughts on this idea of putting out your personal information on your resume or cover letter.
Yeah, so I actually worked as a director for YMCA Day Camp for 6 summers, and I always hired young staff, and I tried to bring in as much diversity as I could because we had a very diverse community that we served. And I actually had a few staff members that I hired at, 16, 17, that years later came out, and I was not surprised. But one of the reasons that I brought them in is because, in serving such a diverse community and working with children, is you need to find the right role models to match with the diversity that we had of the kids that we had. You never know which counselors were going to click with which kids, and bringing in, people of all different kinds made it a little bit easier so that the children of all different kinds could find somebody that they could really latch on to and look up to.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point that you make, Dana, that if we don't see these types of people, or if kids don't see them where are the role models, right?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. If there aren't out gay policemen and firemen and things like that, what are little gay kids supposed to look up to?
I want to ask you, these studies deal with hiring practices, but did you find any studies that look at glass ceilings within corporations for people who are already hired?
Well, like quoting the Pew study again, like I said, that 1 in 5 LGBT Americans still report being treated unfairly by an employer. And as a lot of executives at the highest levels still report being afraid to come out at work. There aren't too many people, Apple excluded, there aren't too many corporations that we can say have out LGBT C-level executives who are out there in the LGBT community. And that's something that does have to change. And also, I wanted to touch on a point that was brought up by the previous caller. We have to remember what the closet is. Remaining closeted at work means hiding things about oneself, perhaps reinforcing a negative self-image, reinforcing homophobia or perceived homophobia at work. This is going to negatively affect a worker's productivity eventually. So an out employee is a more productive employee.
We've got Susan calling in from Manhattan. And Susan, is this right that you're the editor of a golf magazine?
I was the editor of a magazine called Golf for Women in 2002. And we wrote the first story about Augusta National not accepting women, particularly when they accepted huge amounts of corporate sponsorship with women as consumers. And what's fascinating about the conversation is that, in terms of cultural stereotyping, this was the world of golf. And the NAACP threatened to sue the PGA Tour over Shoal Creek not accepting African Americans into clubs at which tournaments were played. But I just want to cut to the point of this, which was Augusta National accepted a black man, many years before it accepted any women. Hmm. And so being a black man in the world of golf trumped being a woman of any race. And so, you know, it was 10 years after we wrote our story in 2012 that the first woman, Condoleezza Rice, and another woman from Atlanta were accepted into Augusta National. But in terms of the cultural environments that you're talking about, this reminded me when he said that, you know, the gay black man was more acceptable than the straight black man. This is what we sort of saw in the world of golf, was that any man of any race was more acceptable than any woman.
Does that surprise you, Yitz, in any way?
That's actually, and she brings
Thanks,
up a
Susan.
Very in, she brings up a very interesting point, and a point that must be noted, that all of these studies from 2005, 2011, 2012, all of these studies only studied men. These studies only compared gay men to heterosexual men, white men to black men. Women didn't really factor into into these studies. And when I interviewed the sociologist from Princeton, he said that he wanted to eventually do a study. He would be interested in the findings of studies on women, but he only concentrated on men.
Huh.
So it's an interesting point that we have where lesbians would play into this hasn't even been analyzed largely,
and so
by
maybe,
any of the studies that I was studying.
Yeah, that would be interesting too if we found what kind of trifecta there? Woman, gay, black, Jewish.
Well,
could you be trumped?
I'm actually an administrator for the LGBT Jews of Color group on Facebook. And there are many black Jewish lesbians out there who have stories that range from horrible stories of discrimination to stories like mine, where they do feel comfortable being out at work.
It's interesting. Karen from from New York comments on our website that clues about age have been a big problem for her recently. And also, and I'm quoting here, she says, "Unless I know that no red flags will be raised thereby, I leave out of the resume both the internship at women's rights organizations and political volunteering, progressive political volunteering that I've done." So, yeah, age is another big one. I mean, just by saying what year you graduated from college, right?
I would think that, now granted, like I said, none of the studies I analyzed went into age at all, I would imagine that would depend largely on the industry, because in technology and also in entertainment. Well, especially, I'll speak more to entertainment. In entertainment, especially in the music industry, there's that idea that everyone wants to see a new face, a young face. And not only that, the young faces want to work with other young faces. And that extends to the producers, to the managers, and things like that. And it's expected that an older person is coming in looking for some type of C-level position.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, they may have wonderful music that they want to, you know, arrange, or they may have a great voice, but someone's just looking for that artist who's under 35, you know.
I want to turn, sort of switch tack here, Yitz, and ask you, you know, President Obama announced he was going to, through executive order, bar discrimination against gay workers in federal hiring. He doesn't need Congress to act to do that, right? But I believe it's been delayed for some reason.
Unfortunately, immediately after he made the declaration that he wanted to bar discrimination against LGBT workers, right on the heels of that came religious leaders who wanted to make sure that there was a quote-unquote robust religious exemption that would allow faith-based organizations and faith-based contractors to discriminate against LGBT applicants and LGBT employees. And after the first letter came the second letter, and with 100 signatories. And then after the second letter came a third letter. And unfortunately, Obama's having to do this dance between an evangelical base and all of his faith-based voters and the principles of equality that he's been standing for recently.
And I believe that one of the gay groups has come out and said, you know what, if we don't get the act the way we wanted it, we're going to withdraw our support.
And, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act is a historic piece of legislation in its own right that would put LGBT workers on the same rights as minority workers, on the same level as minority workers when it comes to rights. But the religious exemption that was included in ENDA has now, since the ruling with Hobby Lobby, has now become more of a nightmarish scenario for LGBT workers, and to the point that the ACLU and other and many gay organizations have withdrawn their support for it. It seems that religion is being used as the justification is going to be able to be used as the justification for any number of discriminatory actions against LGBT workers, and that's something that no equality organization can stand for.
Before we wrap up, Yitz, I want to just one more personal note here. You told us that you came out fairly recently. You told us that earlier in the show. Just tell us a little bit more about the music of your alter ego, J Love.
Why Love?
Why Love? Gosh.
So my music is all about unity, all about building bridges and destroying walls and putting love in the place of discord. Like I tell my fans, why is a question, love is always the answer. I try to make music that builds unity, and I try to make music that makes the world a better place. I've done work with various different groups, working with Israeli and Palestinian kids, working with white Australian and Aboriginal kids in Australia. Conflict resolution exercises in Brooklyn, basically just trying to use hip-hop as the way to make the world a better place. And my record label, Banks Media, was the pioneer of the hip-hop reconciliation project, the Hip-Hop Sulha, to bring American Jews and American Muslims together, also through hip-hop. Music is a very powerful medium. We can either use it to build the world or to destroy the world. I choose to do the former and not the latter.
Well, we could certainly use that music considering what's been going on in Israel. We have to leave it there. I'm Anoush Samarodi, filling in for Brian Lehrer. I've been speaking with Yitz Jordan of Quartz. Yitz, thank you so much for telling us your personal side of this issue.
Thank you so much for having me. All the best. Why is the question? Love is the answer.
Coming up, American history gets the graphic novel treatment. Plus, why more doctors don't get with the times and communicate electronically with patients. That's all. Coming up in just a minute.